Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 9, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Parinishthita api nairgunya uttama shloka lilaya grihita cetara jarshe akhyanam yadadhitavan. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence. Yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. Purport, the absolute truth is realized as the impersonal Brahman at the first instance by philosophical speculation and later as the supersoul by further progress of transcendental knowledge. But if by the grace of the Lord, an impersonalist is enlightened by the superior statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into a transcendental devotee of the personality of Godhead. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of the personality of the absolute truth, and the personal activities of the Lord are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalists. But reasons and arguments, together with the transcendental process of approaching the absolute truth, help even the staunch impersonalist to become attracted by the personal activities of the Lord. A person like Shukadev Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity, but when such a devotee is convinced by a superior method, he is certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are his activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. Parinishthitopi nairgunya uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarshe akhyanam yad atitavan. Shukadev Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj how he became situated in pure Krishna consciousness, even though he had previously been an impersonalist. Impersonalist, this word conveys the idea which comes across in Sanskrit of Advaitavadi or Mayavadi. That means one who sticks to the principle of considering that everything is one, or that Krishna is Maya. Everything is Maya. That's what they call Mayavadi. Because the Advaitavad of thinking everything is one, that comes out that everything is one, Maya is spirit, spirit is Maya, then Krishna also becomes Maya. So they're called Mayavadis. Actually, even the impersonalists sometimes call themselves Mayavadis. But this, we, at least Prabhupada, his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even though the ordinary term used by philosophers is Advaitavad, but he preferred to use this term Mayavad, I would suppose to underline the fact that what this Advaitavad leads to, it leads to considering that Krishna himself is a product of Maya. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this term, Mayavadi. Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. He said that Mayavadis, they are offenders to Krishna, because they think that he has no hands, legs, face, or even if he has, it's all Maya. So they're offenders. So generally for Shukadev Goswami and impersonalists like him, that means the other famous example is that of the four Kumaras. And also it said that Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was also attracted to the impersonal concept at one time. But we generally refer to them as Brahmavadis. That means that they are transcendentalists. They're not deliberately cultivating a sense of enmity towards the Supreme Lord in the name of philosophy, as Mayavad does. But simply, they haven't got information of the personality of Godhead. They haven't been so fortunate as to come in association with great devotees. But they're serious transcendentalists. And therefore, they become detached from this material world and situated in a preliminary spiritual position, which of detachment, which they think is all in all until they come in contact with the Uttama Shloka Lila. So Uttama Shloka Lila means the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So here Shukadev Goswami is describing how he, even though he was situated in transcendence, he undertook the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this question came up that the sages at Naimisharanya, they asked Sudha Goswami that why he was situated in transcendence, then why did he take the trouble to study such a vast literature as Srimad Bhagavatam? So generally we hear that the impersonalists, they say that, well, it's beyond words. The truth is beyond words. So, and that thought may come, that or that idea, concept may come, that, well, if you're self-realized, then you don't have to study anything. Study is a means. When you know, you no longer have to study. Just like in the college, you may study how to be a doctor. But then once you're qualified as a doctor, you don't need to study. At least what you've learned, you don't have to study. But then, if it's considered that impersonal realization is the ultimate position, then there's no need to study anything else because you already reached it. So it would seem that there's no need to study anything. There's no need to hear anything. There's no need to say anything. There's no need to do anything. You just merge into transcendence and enjoy Brahma Sukh, the happiness of being one with everything else, which, whatever it may be, it's Brahma Sukha, it's also indescribable, according to the impersonalists. So, Shukadev Goswami, it's described that he was situated in the transcendental position, parinishtito pinayagunya, even though I was situated, parinishtito, it means very solidly fixed in the nirgunya, the position of being beyond the modes of material nature. But uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajasya, my dear king, he's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, when I heard the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, then that attracted my mind. And therefore, akhyanam yad atitavan. Therefore, I took up the study of it to find out more. So this is proof that... Do you want me to go slow? This serves as proof that even someone who's on the transcendental platform, they become attracted by the pastimes of the Lord, which means that they are transcendental. So, even if one is beyond all studying all other Vedic literatures, one can never go beyond studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Our devotees, they shouldn't think, well, I read Srimad Bhagavatam. What's next? I already read it. Finished. If you read a book, generally you think, well, I finished it. If it's a very good book, you might want to read it again. But any ordinary book, there are so many novels. You read it and then you read another one. But Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, one should continuously, one should study daily and go on studying. Because this is the Uttama Shloka Lila, is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord who is unlimited. So Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. You may say, why unlimited? You start at the beginning and you finish at the end. It has a beginning and it has an end. So how is it unlimited? This is the same misunderstanding of the impersonalists about the form of the Lord. We think the Lord cannot have form Because form is limiting. Unlimited means it shouldn't be confined to any parameters. But Krishna's form, you see, it has the beginning from the top to the bottom, front to back, left to right, one side to the other. So if we say, well, Krishna's form, it begins here and ends there, then beyond that, there's no Krishna. So that means Krishna is limited. But that's not true, because Krishna is present everywhere. He is Goloka Nirasati Akhila Atma Bhuta. He is simultaneously present as Krishna in his Dvibhuji Murlida Rup, his two-handed form holding a flute. But he's simultaneously present everywhere. And then you would say, well, we can't understand that. Well, you can't understand because he's unlimited. He is possessing a form, or doesn't limit him as it limits us. This is transcendental understanding. The impersonalist idea of unlimitedness is constrained by their limited conception of what reality should be. Therefore, they cannot understand the transcendental position of Krishna, and they presume that he is also a limited living being, and therefore they fail to come to the full transcendental position. And because of their offenses to Krishna, they fall down. Yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas toyasta bhava davishuddha buddhaya aruhya kritchena parang padang tata padantya dhotnaduta yushmanangaraha. Even though by great difficult austerities they elevate themselves to the position superficially beyond the modes of material nature, not fully. They're still not fully purified because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet, and therefore they are bound to fall down. They must fall down, the impersonalists, unless they come in contact with a pure devotee and become attracted by that concept. But generally, once someone is infected by this Mayavad, they go deeply into that, then we find it's very difficult to come out, because actually it increases, although they say that we should become free from ahankar, actually it increases it. Instead of thinking, I'm the best human being, or whatever, that is the limit of materialistic ahankar. Or ordinary ahankar, all ahankars. All ahankar means all non-Krishna conscious ahankar. The highest you can go is to think I'm the greatest human being. Or maybe if you become a demigod, you could think I'm the greatest demigod. But the Mayavadis, in name of giving up ahankar, they increase it unlimitedly. They think I'm God. So, how much puffed up they become. So generally people who are infected by this, they can't begin to understand Krishna consciousness. And therefore they consider Krishna is limited, Srimad Bhagavatam is limited, I am unlimited. I am more than Krishna. Rascals. So Srimad Bhagavatam, that is unlimited as Krishna is. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Purana Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavanushihi Nishrayasaya Lokasya Dhanyang Swastayanam Mahat. Prabhupada translates this as saying that this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is Idam Bhagavatam, it is non-different from Krishna. Purana Brahma Samhita, it is the Purana which deals directly with the Absolute Truth. It describes the personality, the pastimes of the Uttama Shloka Lilaya, same words that is used in this verse. It describes the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and it is compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva. Nishrayasa, it is all beneficial. Prabhupada has translated very nicely. I can't remember. It is all beneficial. Nishayasya, it is for all people. Nishayasya silokasya, and it conveys all auspiciousness. It is all auspicious. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entirely on the transcendental platform. Therefore, it is worshipped by great sages like Shukadeva Goswami as the Brahma Samhitam. It is the compilation of matters totally on the transcendental platform. Last night that man was saying, well, I read the Mahabharata, I read the Shiva Purana, and I came to the conclusion that Hari and Hara are the same. But this isn't the process of understanding spiritual knowledge. That you read one or two books and then you make your own conclusion. And that is not the proper system. If you think that I'll make my own conclusion, the first thing is you'll have to read all the Vedic literatures. Then come to a conclusion. But actually that's not required. One, it's better that you don't read all the Vedic literatures, that you read Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is Saravetetihasanam Saram Saram Udaharitam. All the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, they're all the essence of that, the essence of that is collected in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In which, from the very beginning, it's described that Kaitava Dhamma Projita Atra. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all kinds of cheating religion are rejected. Cheating religion means, as Narad Muni described to Vyasa, that which does not clearly delineate the personality of Godhead. So, from that standpoint, even Vedanta Sutra, that could also possibly be taken within that category of cheating religion. Actually, the Shastras, they're not for cheating people. They're for elevating people. But people take it like that. They misunderstand and become cheated. Actually, the Shastras, there's no cheating in Shastra. Although Narad Muni accused Vyasadeva of that. But it's speaker. Just like Prabhupada said about the bogus gurus, people want to be cheated, therefore the bogus gurus come to cheat them. So Shastra, that is all pure and all perfect. But some of them are presented in such a way that it appears to present something else than pure devotional service to Krishna. And it's presented in that way. Those who are pure devotees, they can understand. Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamante Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Though they can understand that in all the Vedic literatures, from beginning to end, and in the middle also, only Lord Hari is glorified. This also comes in Mahabharata, this verse, at the end of Mahabharata. So that gentleman who was saying that, well, I read the Mahabharata and it seems like Krishna and Shiva are the same, but he didn't take into account this verse at the end, which says that all the Vedic literatures are meant for glorifying Hari, not Hara. Hara means Lord Shiva. Hari means Krishna. So, you can pick up some books and read, but actually you won't understand. You may think, I'm a great scholar, I've understood. That's not the system. One has to study, one has to understand Shastra under the guidance of an Acharya. That is the system. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva. He didn't say, well, you know, Vyasadeva, I left home because you're such Maya, so just give me the book and I'll read it myself. Actually, he left home because he thought, this is Maya. Vyasadeva, he may be the Vyas, he's Vyas, but to me, he's father. So I'll be caught in the affection of Maya, thinking he's my father, and he'll be thinking he's my son. So he left. He left. Immediately. He left home.
What is that verse? I'm trying to remember. Swanu, Swanu Bhava. I can't remember. There's the verse that describes that. Shukadeva Goswami left immediately, even though his father was lamenting, without performing the Swanu Bhava. That's the next verse. So he simply left without considering that my father is upset. But then his father wanted to call him back. Shukadeva Goswami was thinking, I'm self-realized. Can you get the first canto of Bhagavatam? Yeah. It's in that bookshelf. Shukadeva Goswami was thinking, well, you know, I don't need father, mother, upanayanam. I don't need all these things. I'll just, I'm self-realized, I'll just travel here and there. And be in Brahmasukh. So his father was trying to call him back. He didn't like to come. So his father wanted to, father means Vyasadeva. His father called him back. Actually, he wanted to teach him that there's more than just this impersonal realization. He wanted to teach him Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was gone. He left immediately. Which verse? I'm just not remembering, but I'll tell it now. Ah, yam pravrajanta manupeta mapeta kritam, thy payano viraha katara ajuhava. Putreti, O my son, putreti tan mayataya taravo binedas, tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanto smi. Sutta Goswami begins his speaking by saying, let me offer my obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami, who left. He can enter the hearts of all, but he left the home of Vyasadeva, who was calling after him, oh my son, but only the trees echoed in reply. Then yaswanu bhavam akila shutisar amekam adhyatma deepam atitirshitam tamunham. Samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tang vyasa sunam upayami gurum ninam. So he again offers obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami, who, out of great compassion for the samsaris, the persons trapped in material life, the gross materialists, who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, he spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam after having personally assimilated by experience. So all this is linked up. These verses here, how Shukadeva Goswami left home, and at the end of the first canto, there's the discussion of Atmaramas Chamuniyo, how Shukadeva Goswami studied the Bhagavatam, even though he was self-realized. And here Shukadeva Goswami is explaining himself about this. So Vyasadeva, he wanted to teach his son Srimad Bhagavatam, but Shukadeva Goswami thought, oh, he's just materially attached. He didn't appreciate. He didn't know that he wanted to teach this. So, as he was wandering off, Vyasadeva arranged for some of his disciples to recite Srimad Bhagavatam along the path that he was passing. And as he was passing, even though he was self-realized, then the objects of the senses interact with the senses, just that he remains detached from it all. In other words, he sees, he hears, he touches, he smells, he feels, he tastes all these things. But he has no attachment to that. But when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, the verses being chanted, even that, he was not, verses chanted, he won't be attracted, because he's beyond even Shastra. The Brahmavadis, they're beyond, in their own estimation, They don't need to hear, they're beyond that. So when he heard this being chanted, it ended his ears, some impression was made on the consciousness, and he felt attracted to that. Oh, what's going on? This is Maya. I'm attracted to that. How is that possible? So he analyzed, how is it possible that I'm being attracted? And he could understand within his own mind that he had no material attachment for anything. Therefore, this, what he's hearing, these verses, must be something which is on the transcendental platform. It's not Maya, because I cannot be attracted to Maya. I'm beyond Maya. So therefore, he desired to hear that, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding that this is something more than simply being nirgun, beyond the modes of material nature. This is something this is something which is transcendental, yet full of activities. It is uttama shloka lila, but it is not material. This is Shukadev's realization. And therefore, he studied Srimad Bhagavatam. He studied that. What is that? Dvaparado, Adhitaban Dvaparado. How is that verse called? Adhitaban Dvaparado. Pita is the verse before this. Pitur Dvaipayanadaham. Irang Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam. Adhitaban Dvaparado Pitur Dvaipayanadaham. He studied this Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. So he no longer was afraid of his father. Father means Maya. But now he is very happy to associate with his father. That this father, he's not Maya. He's teaching me Srimad Bhagavatam. So at first he left home out of total detachment. But then again he came back to be attached to hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a wonderful narration. We consider the personality, what amazing personality, Shukdev Goswami, Vyasadev. And these personalities, Shiva Shuka Narada Preme Gada Gada Bhakati Vinoda Deke Gaurara Shampada. This, all these personalities, they are, their ecstasy becomes concentrated on seeing the wonderful opulences of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are the opulences of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's a sannyasi. He is only a stick and a water pot, and the stick also Nityananda broke that. So what does he have left? His opulence is, opulent means dhan, wealth. So his opulence is Golokera Prema Dhan Harinama Sankirtan. His opulence is the wealth of Krishnanam Sankirtan, which he has brought from Golok Vrindavan. Krishnanam, Krishna, he's everything about Krishna. Krishnanam, Krishna Gun, what is that? Krishnanam, Krishna Roop, Krishna Lila Vrinda. All these name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna, they're all transcendental. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought that. Krishna came, but he was more or less, Krishna was in his own private circle. He had his devotees and he had his pastimes with them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he broke open the storehouse of love of God. That Krishna prema which Krishna exhibited, it was just, he had his group. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the whole world, come and join. Come and join. Krishna was dancing in Rasleela. No one can come. Even Lakshmi can't come. She can't come. And what to speak of others. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited everyone, come and dance with me. So the Supreme Lord is always dancing, his main activity. What is he doing? What does God do? Sitting on a cloud, punishing people? No. He's dancing. Dancing always in ecstasy. Either Ras Leela as Krishna, or Udandal Nirta, that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very powerful dancing of Krishna. Krishna Prema Nirta, the dancing in ecstasy of love of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he invites everyone, come and join. No qualification required. You may be rascal number one. If that's a good qualification, as far as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is concerned, that he's especially come to save the fallen. But the only qualification is that one should have some faith. With faith, one should take up this chanting. But this Mayavad, that will despoil any faith in bhakti. Even they, it appears to be, they may appear to do, Mayavadis, they also appear to do bhakti. But that bhakti is not bhakti. That's not pleasing to Krishna. They ultimately think he's all one and I'm one with him and I'm probably more than him. So that's not pleasing to Krishna. That's painful to Krishna. More painful than the arrows shot by his enemies that pierce his transcendental body. Krishna is pained by the inimical attitude, envious attitude of the Mayavadis. They cannot enter into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. Even they may join, but they won't be accepted. So we have to kick out this impersonalistic, envious ideas out of our head. And generally in Hinduism, it's all pervading. They say all pervading. So their Mayavad is very... It may be, especially those coming from a Hindu background, it may be more difficult to kick this out, because from childhood people have learned about Swami Vivekananda and other such rascals. Here in the Tamil Nadu, that Ramana Maharshi is famous. So, it'll be very good for our bhakti if we understand that these people are simply rascals and demons and envious. If we think that, well, we're devotees, but actually, we don't want to say anything bad about anyone, and Sai Baba's also, he's sadhu. If we think like that, we cannot advance one step in bhakti by the offense of giving any credence to these rascals. So it's actually important for our devotional service that we understand who is who. If we think that Duryodhana is Yudhishthira and they're all the same, then that won't be pleasing to Krishna. We have to understand there is Pandava Paksh and there is Kuru Paksh. And we stand there. We stand on the side of the Pandavas. Not that we sympathize. We don't sympathize with the devil, with the demons. Why sympathize? Our sympathy is that we want to bring them to Krishna consciousness, but we can't compromise with their rascal ideas. Then we also become a rascal. Then we lose bhakti. So it's important. It's not just... sometimes people accuse me of being on some kind of trip that I'm always talking about demons and Mayavadis. But unless... You can talk about Krishna Prem until you go blue in the face. And Gopi Leelas and so many things. But first of all, you should understand what are the basic things. You talk about Gopi Leela and then Sai Baba is also good. What is this nonsense? You don't understand anything. We shouldn't make any offenses to Sai Baba. Then you're a nonsense. Then you're doing cheating religion in the name of bhakti. If you have any sympathy for these rascals, then Krishna will not accept you. Because they are envious. Seriously envious of Krishna. They want to divert attention away from Krishna and towards themselves. This is highly envious. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Oh, so, please say it loudly.
Prabhupada is the jivas, they contain the Brahma Jyoti. Small jivas. The radio Brahman. All the Brahman contains jivas.
Yeah.
Does it mean that it is the natural constitutional position?
No. No, jivas attain Brahma Jyoti doesn't mean it's their constitutional position. Just like you have now attained a body born in Russia, that doesn't mean that it's your constitutional position to be a Russian. That is not their constitutional position. Just like someone asked Prabhupada, that someone in Shastra stated that the jiva comes from the Brahma Jyoti. So Prabhupada said that the Brahma Jyoti, that's all. He said they fall from the Brahma Jyoti. Prabhupada said the Brahma Jyoti is already a fallen position. So how can they fall from Brahma Jyoti? It's not. We may say fall, but it's just, it's something like the, what is that? Tetam bhukva swagalokam vishalam kshine punya martya lokam vishanti. When one is in the heavenly planets, he uses up his punya, then he falls down to the earthly planet. So in one sense it's a fall, but in another sense it's just shifting from one room to another. You're within the material world. The heavenly planets, if you're there, that's also a fallen position. So, yes, we can say it's falling from the Brahma Jyoti, but from another standpoint, it's you're already, it's just like you go from the higher class prison to the worst class prison. So you may say, well, I'm downgraded, but you're already degraded.
Sun receives light from Brahma Jyoti.
What is that?
Sun.
Sun. Yeah, yeah.
Sun receives light from Brahma Jyoti and gives it to the planet.
Yeah.
So the sunlight we have right now.
Yeah.
Is it Brahma Jyoti?
Not exactly. The sunlight isn't exactly Brahma Jyoti. The sunlight is material. The Brahma Jyoti is non-material. But the concept of thinking Brahma Jyoti is supreme, that is material, because that is a misunderstanding. We derive the concept of Brahman realization, but we don't derive Brahman itself, because Brahman, that is a feature of the Absolute Truth. That Vedanti Tattva, what is that? Vedanti Tattva Vidas Tattva Myat Jnana Vadvayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabhyate. So we don't deride Brahman, we deride the concept of becoming one with Brahman. Kaivalya Narakayate. That's worse than going to hell. But it doesn't mean that the Brahma Jyoti is, we should condemn, no. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. All glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.